them in headlines.
Would you really? All right, let's see. Let's see.
Yeah, okay. We can see that, definitely.
And welcome back to Rock Under Fire, episode 44. You find us at rockunderfire.com, Rock Under Fire on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, that thing called Stitcher that I still don't know what the hell it is.
What is? Yeah, all right. Then if you don't know what it is, I won't ask because I don't know what it is either.
Yes, and we are a rock and roll podcast dissecting seven decades of rock and roll, lamenting the present.
As always.
And a time when rock and roll was once the center of everything, the center of pop culture. Now it is invisible, at least to the mainstream, but the mainstream is what we grew up on. You know, all that stuff, Zeppelin and the Stones and the Beatles and even Metallica and
Black
Slayer.
Sabbath.
Slayer was mainstream.
Black Sabbath.
All that stuff. All you people out there that say mainstream music, fuck the mainstream. Well, fuck the mainstream now, man, because it's all rap and country and pop and all bullshit. There's no rock, man.
Rap
There's no more
country,
rock stars, man.
Rap and country hybrids now, too, which is really
Really?
Amazing.
I don't know that I've heard that. Is there rap and country? I'm out of it. Is there rap and country hybrids?
There is, yeah.
Really?
It's amazing.
I guess that was inevitable, huh?
It's amazing.
Kind of. Oh, my God.
I have to start the show by apologizing to the people in the Supertramp camp.
Getting death threats?
I don't want to see the place burn down.
Supertramp, you should not be apologizing about Supertramp, but I want everybody to know that Pat's opinions about Lou Reed and Glenn Danzig do not, two brilliant songwriters, do not reflect mine or anyone else.
I was talking to Supertramp last night to somebody, John, John at the bar.
Right.
You know?
I overheard that a little bit, and that's what I said about that.
He's a friend of mine.
Like Supertramp. I like Supertramp until Famous Last Words. There's a good Crime of the Century is a great album.
Hey, that's what it's all about. Yeah. You like Supertramp? He likes Glenn. You know, Stick likes Glenn Danzig and Lou Reed. It's a taste.
We're referring to our last episode, if you haven't heard it, we did some hardcore hating.
Yeah,
our least favorite songs.
We're gonna try and keep this one bubbly tonight.
I found out
we're in a happy place.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
The drugs are kicking in.
Found out.
Narcotics.
Found out who likes Jethro Tull. You guys. I always wondered who are the Jethro Tull fans out there.
Tracy,
and
especially
you and Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy really likes them.
Tracy wanted to castrate me. I saw the look on her face.
As soon as that was kind of my radar went off.
Yeah.
Red alert.
Yeah, yeah. Back off.
She did that. She did that eye thing. Like,
for those of you who can't
the
see.
The one eye closes.
Well, I got it back. I didn't tell you guys I went to a good concert, though. It was like a month ago. Forget the venue, man, but it's this old factory in Brooklyn turned brand new concert venue. I went to see my new favorite band, Daddy Long Legs, play their Brand of Voodoo, which was fucking fantastic, but they opened up for David Johansen.
Oh, wow.
He was fucking great, dude. What a band you had with him.
Shit.
At some point in the show, he said he stole them from Bette Midler. Bette Midler's band.
Midler.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said.
Stole what from Bette
Midler? The band. He was introducing them. And
oh, really?
The bass was so deep, you felt it in your body. I mean, dude, yeah.
Wait,
they mother effing rocked. How old is the band?
Is it a young band?
No, they look like they're about our age.
Okay, Hitler, man.
But Johansson sounded great.
Yeah, but look at Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper's musicians are all in their fucking 30s and 40s.
Like Bette Midler was musically active in the last 30 years, man.
Sure, she's always around. Okay. She's always out and about singing her show tunes. How old's Johansson? He's got to be 70, right? 60.
Yeah, man. He looked great, man. He sounded great, and he did a whole career retrospective,
He's never looked great, but he looked good for his age.
I'll accept that. Yeah. He's really good, man.
He had that jowl kind of look to him, all right.
Yeah.
I do enjoy him, though. Don't get me wrong.
And the place went bananas, man, especially when he did a lot of the Doll stuff, you know? What a show, So, I don't know. I saw that my boys, Daddy Longlegs, were playing with him. I was like, yeah, we're gonna go see that, especially for $20. I want to go see Radiohead, but at $150, plus I have to buy a ticket for Nicole for $300, I think I'm going to pass on Radiohead. Because they're going to whack me with all kind of fees. You know when you go on these sites, you pay the $150 for the ticket. Oh, there's a $20 handling fee. Oh, there's a $10 service charge or some bullshit.
Who's handling anything?
We did a whole episode on
that.
Yeah, Ticketmaster.
So I'm feeling kind of cheap. I love Radiohead, man.
That might have been the last time I really got pissed off on this podcast.
No anger tonight. Tonight's going to be happy and bubbly.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I'll be happy and bubbly tonight. We will. But
I'm not hating on no one.
So,
is there anything to hate on?
Is there anything?
Nobody died. Nobody's died in the last couple of weeks that we know of. So we kind of
these new sneakers. I hate these new sneakers. Yeah. They're so tight, man.
Yeah,
no, they're not new, actually.
I gotta say, man, band that you and I were into a couple of years ago, Mike. I was, you know, every now and then I get a new batch of CDs for the car. You guys listen to CDs in the car at all? Or,
yeah.
Or iPod. I put that on like shuffle.
All right. Yeah. Nah, I don't do that.
I should go back to listen to the whole records, though.
I got a pile of CDs and I recycle them, you know. So I put Tame Impala inner speaker in there. Mm-hmm. What a fucking great disc.
Yeah.
You know? And, and I do recall listening to the follow-up Lonerism and being like, man, have you been into anything they've done since then?
That ties into our conversation for this episode. In the 21st century, man, in the 21st century, there have been two bands that I got excited about. That's it. And as much as, you know, anybody listens to this show, we do a lot of bitching about the current state of rock and roll and it's just invisibility. And but the fact that there's nothing out there, man. It's nothing that grabs you by the balls. The first band that grabbed me by the balls in the 21st century, as you know, was The Strokes.
Right.
And it took another 10 years, and Tame Impala was the next one. But they quickly disappointed me, man. It was not that I didn't like it. It was just like this band didn't turn out to be.
Have you kept up with them at all, though?
I listened to every album they did after.
You have listened to every album.
Maybe a handful of times.
Yeah, huh?
It didn't have the same effect.
Right. Yeah, me too, man. But it's a couple bands like that. I'm like reflecting on how many bands come out with this great record, and then they quickly let you down. The Shins are another one, dude. Oh, Inverted World, what a sunny piece of California. Awesome record that is.
That was
I did not like that Shoots Too Narrow. I don't know what they've done since, dude. But I'll give you one more. I loved the Arcade Fire Funeral when it came out. I thought it was fucking magnificent.
It's funny you mention Arcade Fire.
Now I think they're like everything we hate about music. They're a good representative of, you know, the guy with the suspenders on playing the accordion or whatever, or the mandolin or whatever they're doing. I don't know. They all released great records and then went, in my opinion, fizzled. Obviously, they're doing very well. They have good careers.
Yeah. The ongoing argument / debate I have with certain people in our lives, and it's never ending, is that arena rock, like the quote unquote arena rock, has become a curse word. It became a curse word at some point in the grunge era, where all of the bands, the big bands, went from playing arenas and stadiums in the 80s, 70s and 80s, to playing Roseland and the Bowery Ballroom and Webster Hall, and they do it with like a sense of pride, almost like, yeah, arena rock, you know. But what does it say that the big bands today play clubs? It means that not enough people are listening to their music. That we're, you know.
Yeah.
But he just hit the nail on the head. Stick just hit the nail on the head. Not enough people want to fish out fucking $300 out of their pockets to go see a concert.
Right.
That's ridiculous. That's just greed.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the fact that. I mean, there's just so many directions we can go here. I'll try not to go too far out into left field, because one question this kind of, you know, triggers is what's going to happen to the concert industry in 10 years.
We've talked about that, especially when I think it's
going bye-bye.
Yeah.
There'll be festivals.
Yeah.
But the ability for you to sit on your couch and watch a concert from home, that's coming, and it's probably already here.
These festivals are needed for rock bands because it's really the only time, the only opportunity these bands get to play in front of big crowds, right? Because otherwise they're playing in clubs. And, you know, there's dozens of bands on a festival, right? Maybe like one or two or three are headliners.
If it's a multi-day thing, they'll have multiple headliners each day or something like
right.
that. Yeah.
So now you have, like, the concert industry now. The only artists that can fill a stadium are probably all over the age of 60 right now.
Yeah.
The only artists that can fill an arena, a 20,000-seat arena, which, face it, back in the 70s and 80s, there were dozens of bands that could fill arenas in the 70s and 80s in the beginning of the 90s.
Whereas there weren't as many who were selling out Giant Stadium. Yeah. The Stones were doing it. You know, McCartney was doing it. Floyd. Where bands like U2, Floyd was doing, bands like U2 were doing the arenas. They were filling the arenas, and now they've kind of moved up, you know what
they
I
moved
mean?
The state. So now the arenas, again, the only bands and artists that can fill arenas are still over the age of 50 or 60, or they're country artists and rap artists. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. I might be wrong. I only know of two bands to come out of the 21st century to play the Garden. The Strokes and Arcade Fire.
Actually, I think I saw Jack White play the Garden, dude.
Jack White, did Jack White headline the Garden, or did he
headline
up?
Headline.
Okay, so that's number three.
Yeah.
All right, was it Jack White or was it the White Stripes?
It was Jack White. Okay, about 2 years ago. Okay, so
Jack
not that long
White
ago.
Jack,
artist,
I can see
dude.
Jack being able to do it. He's got a loyal following. What would you, I mean, are
back
you looking
in the
at...
80s and, back in the 70s and 80s, there used to be three bands a week play the Garden.
Yeah.
Three bands a week, at least. You know, you'd have Van Halen one night, the next two nights later you'd have Ozzy there.
Yeah.
Two nights later you'd have Priest there.
Mm-hmm.
Two nights
DMC.
Later you'd have U2 there.
Yeah.
U2,
it wasn't really rock acts.
U2
yeah.
would sell five nights. You know, there was always like Zeppelin was always five shows at the Garden. Pink Floyd was always six shows at the Garden.
Yeah. Even Pearl Jam now is doing three nights at the Garden.
Pearl Jam's always doing multiple shows there.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam, obviously, you know, came out in the 90s.
Yeah. No. I'm not throwing them into the mix.
But that was
that
last wave.
Well, would you consider, you know, that band that my daughter loves, Panic at the Disco, they sold out the Garden. The guy sold out the Garden. I went to that show with her, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
And
as far
along
as
the same
tell.
Thoughts. I was like, wow, this guy sold out Madison Square Garden.
It's got to be a few we're overlooking, man. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't throw him in the rock and roll category, really. You know, he was more of a girl
rock
band.
Besides Arcade Fire and The Strokes and Jack White as an artist, you know, have played the Garden, have headlined the Garden. Now, I'm not talking about like the National opening up for REM at the Garden.
In the 21st century.
Bands that came out of the 21st century. Not like, you know, if you have an album out in like Radiohead, they.
Right, no, they don't count.
Back to the
90s. Yeah.
So
that's a really good question.
It's a scary thought. It's evidence. It kind of proves us right. I don't care how many people disagree with us. It proves us right in the sense that there's nothing wrong with playing the Garden. The Garden, if you play the Garden, it means that 20,000 people on any given night is willing to buy a ticket and see you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many people are listening to you, you know, and it's ridiculous that bands that want to get, you know, any audience over 300-500 people at a time have to get on a festival. Now, in addition to those 60-year-olds or the dinosaurs, the Paul McCartneys, the Bruce Springsteens, the U2s and Rolling Stones, on the next level you have amphitheaters, you know, the sheds, the PNC Art Centers and the Jones Beach,
Radio City,
you know, things like that. You have package tours, so you have Styx and Kansas and Journey pairing up with Def Leppard,
and Tesla and Poison. And
these
like
bands are all like they're in their 50s as well, right? So none of these bands are going to be around in 10 years. It's safe to say that 10 years from now, none of these bands are going to be around. People are either dying. We just had five farewell tours announced 2 weeks ago in 1 week.
Yeah.
So. What happens to the concert industry 10 years from now? You know, are there enough?
It's already hurting to begin with. Now, I want to ask the question, would you rather go see a show at the Garden or would you rather go to Roseland? Not Roseland because they're closed, but Irving Plaza.
I always had great time. I had a great time at Irving Plaza, but, you know, being 47, I would rather have a seat. So I would rather go to the Garden.
Okay, I can agree with that fact. But I still like the experience more in Irving Plaza. I 100% agree with you because the last show I saw at Irving Plaza was a few years ago. It was the Counting Crows. I stood in line outside because we wanted to get there early. Stood in line outside to get into the goddamn place. Stood on your feet all night. Walked down there from the city, you know, from the Penn Station. Walked back at the end of the night. By the time I got home, I sat on that train on the ride home and was just I was a fucking hurting fool, man.
Yeah,
it was a long night.
My favorite venue to see a show is the Beacon Theater.
Oh, Beacon is great.
Yeah,
Beacon is a fantastic place.
Yeah,
and you have a seat.
Yeah, and it's small.
It
and
is.
You know, you have that intimacy with the between the band and the crowd.
You're right. That's probably the best of both worlds. But, I mean, Irving Plaza is just, you know, that experience. I love that club experience. I really do. It's a whole different atmosphere.
The Beacon and Radio City are, like, the fucking best places to see a show.
Yeah. You're just more.
You do have a seat.
It's more.
The architecture's beautiful. The sound is fantastic. Yeah.
Close and personal, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
You're getting that club feel in a place where you can be an adult.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying it, man.
Yeah. You know, if you think of, just take, you know, PNC schedule. PNC Bank Art Center, I'm not plugging PNC Bank, but that's, you know, in corporate times, you know, corporate takeovers, you know, it's, you're going to have the Dial Soap Arena soon. You know,
used to be Garden State Art Center for those listening.
Yes, the Garden State Art Center. Yeah. It holds what, 10,000 people
seats and lawn.
Now, ever since they did the renovations, they extended the lawn.
Is it only 10 grand?
I think it'd be a little more than that.
I have to agree. I think it's more. I agree with Stick.
I think it's about 10,000.
That's lawn included.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's small. That's got to be. Sure. It has to be higher than that. Yeah. I think it. I think between the lawn and the seating, it has to be close to the garden. I do. I think it has a.
That's why we need 20,000 seats.
20,000, right?
We need somebody looking that up right
standing
now.
Standing room only out in that lawn. I mean, I've been there for Black Sabbath, and that, you were shoulder to shoulder with the person next to you. You were crammed into that place.
That
I don't know.
Fucking,
I'm going to have to look that one up.
Was it last summer?
Capacity PNC Bank Art Center.
Yeah, that Hart Jones Jet Cheap Trick last summer. OMG, dude. You couldn't move them. Hey, had people. It was illegal. Definitely. People crammed in like sardines.
Are there enough big rap artists and country artists today that when a time comes when they lose their popularity and they get reduced to package tours 10 years from now, can they fill up an entire summer at PNC Bank Art Center the way rock does now in their package tours? You know, because these bands, and that's the thing, if these bands can't manage their way out of Terminal 5? If these if these bands can't find their way out of Terminal 5,
17,500 people for PNC.
I was thinking more like 20. I was going to say
an arena sized crowd almost.
Yeah,
yeah. Because it is an arena sized crowd.
Now the new Garden, they just did major upgrades there. I don't even know if they hold 20 anymore. It might be less than that now.
Oh wow,
it might be. And it's gorgeous. The renovations they made in that building. I've always loved Madison Square Garden. It's always had a place in my heart.
Right.
Because you could get off the train, go upstairs. You had to drive to Brendan Byrne Arena for those people in Jersey.
Yeah.
So you weren't going to really be drinking. Somebody was always going to have to drive back from here. The Turnpike is a disaster. There's state police everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When you could take the train to Manhattan, walk upstairs, go see the show that just blew your balls off.
Yeah.
Get on the train all drunk, or stay in the city and get all drunk and get the 5 o'clock train home in the morning.
Yeah.
That was a night out.
I agree, man. Yeah, I'll take the Garden anytime, man.
Some of the best shows I've ever seen were at the Bowery Ballroom. I used to love going. I mean, I used to see Patti Smith a couple times a year there. What's my point here? Where am I? Okay, so it was 17,000. So that's
17,500.
Okay, so the bands that are quote unquote big now and everybody loves, you know, the Terminal 5 level bands. If these bands that are big today, the good bands, you know, that are playing on the club level and only play in front of big crowds when they get on festivals, what's going to happen when they have to do their package tours? Are they going to do package tours in clubs 10 years from now, 15 years from now? And are we going to be paying $300 to get into Terminal 5?
Yeah,
they
right.
Can't get $300 to get into the Garden.
Yeah.
So they have no choice but to charge $300 to see, I don't know, give me a band that plays in a club now.
Anthrax.
No, I'm talking about it like a band that's come out of the in the last decade. Because no bands.
Winery Dogs were doing a club tour. They did a club tour.
Okay, but they're our age. Like, the Winery Dogs are a little bit older than us. Like they're made up of musicians that are...
Or have been established. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to either die or retire, you know? Like a band with... I don't know.
That's come out in the last 10 years?
It's come out in the last 10, because look, any band that's come out of the last 10 years, none of them are on an arena level.
None that I can think of. No,
there are bands that are like offshoots of rock, like country rockish type, you know, like the Avett Brothers and what's that other band that Eric likes? It was like a.
I know you're
No, there are big artists out there, but they're not rock artists.
No, there's a lot of big country artists. There's a lot of big country artists that we don't. Yeah,
the ongoing evolution in
country music,
and relevance
is huge
of rock music.
Yeah, like Rascal Flatts is the biggest band in the fucking world.
Exactly,
country is enormous right now.
So
it's amazing how
is
big
it
country
just
music
basically is. Is it going to be rap and country that become the package tours of the future?
Well, country has changed because it's not. It's. I mean, you still have like the yokel country music, but there's this new, like, I might be wrong. Is it Keith Urban? Is that the guy's name? He's more of like a rock influenced country. You know, and it's kind of took away our rock and roll more or less, and made a hybrid. You know,
yeah,
a country rock hybrid. Even Chris Stapleton, he's got like a bluesy. I really dig it because it's almost borderline southern rock and not country music. And then he'll go into one of his twangy songs, and I'm like, okay, shut this shit off.
Yeah,
but there's some, you know, I can pick some stuff out of it that I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. What's going to happen to the concert industry 10 years from now? But that's, you know, I would like to do a whole episode on that, like, another time, you know?
It's like when you were young, man, like, you thought this is the way it is, right? There's always going to be, like, brilliant fucking artists, man. Like, how many...
The Garden, you were going to see concerts forever.
Yeah, there's always going to be... Bruce's and Neil Young's and Dylan's and you took it for granted. You didn't think that, no, you know, it's a special, you know, it's not going to be this way forever.
But growing up, every time we were going to a concert, and this was being teenagers through the 80s, every concert we had tickets to was at the Garden or the Meadowlands.
Right.
It was in an arena.
Right.
There was always a 20,000.
Yeah, we never went to theaters. Never.
It reminds me of that movie, Detroit Rock City, because that's what going to a concert was like for us. You know, right. It was like this big, you were like, yeah, we're going to see, I don't know, we're going to see fucking Kiss at the fucking Garden, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like this, you know, you and your four friends were like, and yeah, we're building up to that fucking event.
I don't, as far as like, I get it. I get it when it's like this big, overbloated, idea of rock and roll, you know, with Led Zeppelin, the reasons that those bands are criticized, but you know, hey, people were listening to it. It was big. There were big audiences for it. People were buying the music.
I can't even remember the last show I went to at the Garden, other than obviously I went to see Billy Joel there last year, and I took my daughter to see Panic at the Disco, but I can't remember the last show that I saw at the Garden.
Yeah,
I really can't.
The last show I saw at the Garden was Neil Young and Crazy Horse with Patti Smith opening.
It might have been a Kiss show.
Did we go to that together?
We went to that, yeah.
Oh, it was a Thanksgiving show. Thanksgiving Eve.
With Mark.
Like 7-8 years ago or something like that.
That sounds about right.
That was great. That was great. It was Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah. And then before that, it was R.E.M.
Mm-hmm.
With Modest Mouse and the National.
Right.
And that was 2008. That was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, man.
Yeah.
I know the National's big. You know, I don't know if they... I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong. Maybe the National have played the Garden.
Maybe there's bands that are bigger than we're giving them credit for.
Prudential Center in Newark has taken a lot of the business away from there, too, because it's just as easy to take the train to Newark and jump off and walk right to the Prudential Center. That's where I saw Maiden last year. And very similar experience to the Garden. The Garden just has that nostalgia to it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking, you know, pretty much rock bands. You know, a lot of this country stuff, I'm not, we're excluding that.
Right.
So, trying to get to the topic here.
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, Stick and I were talking. We were talking off air, I probably had this conversation with you, Pat, at various different times, because it's a conversation that comes, like, what's going to bring rock back? All right. Right now, if we're talking mainstream, it's got to be part of the mainstream if it's going to be big again and draw the numbers that it once did and be as relevant as it once was. I get it, you know, rock existing on the fringe and, you know, this whole thing. Yeah, bullshit. For rock and roll to come back, well, not rock and roll, but rock, the industry is going to have to bring it back, I think. There's a lot of truth to that, but I don't think it's the main.
Now, it might just be our listening styles, but I believe, my opinion, that bands that really show the nostalgia, newer bands, that band Thermate, for instance, sounds a lot like Black Sabbath, 70s rock.
Right.
The band that we're about to discuss, not to steal any of your thunder, I'll wait for you to release that.
No, you're not stealing my thunder, man.
I think that nostalgia feel is going to really help push that forward.
Right.
I really do. And, you know, it's interesting because I've seen some younger people listening to the Stones and the Zeppelins of the world.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, when you pick up, we had a good discussion about guitars and people just not picking up a guitar anymore, whereas our generation, everybody wanted to buy a guitar. Mm-hmm. For Christ's sakes, I could hardly play a guitar and I had a Strat. You know what I mean? It was a yellow and fucking...
I know, like six chords.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that nostalgia, I think, is going to be the driving force behind trying to get rock back into the spotlight
again. And you just stumbled on the most important point in where we're going with all this, and here's the validation for what you just said, man. Proves you right. If you ask anybody that's ever come to you with a band in the last 10 years, you got to listen to this band. They're great. You got to... They sound like this. They sound like
right.
the Stones. They sound like Pink Floyd. They sound like My Bloody Valentine. They sound, you know, they sound like something from the past. It's good because it sounds old. And the reason for that is not just the nostalgia factor that, hey, it sounds like something that once was when rock and roll was great.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what this new band sounds like. Okay. So the other thing is that, oh my God, is this a brain fart coming on, man? Did I just like forget what I was going
to
say?
You're going to have to edit.
Yeah, I'm going to have to edit this part.
Instead of saying sounds like, I always try and get around that saying, here, check this out. It reminds me of.
Yeah.
I'd rather say that than sounds like.
For sure.
You're not giving the band their due, I don't think, whenever you say that.
Right. And the other thing that I almost forgot was that the fact that rock and roll, arguably rock and roll was the 50s. You know, it'll never come
just
back.
Rock.
That died, man. That died when Elvis went in the army. All right, and little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis went to jail or whatever.
It's buried with Chuck Berry.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. So anyway, rock has not evolved. Nobody's pushing the boundaries anymore. And I don't mean the way Radiohead did when they made Kid A, because that was not rock. Going from, you know. OK Computer to Kid A is a nice artistic statement, but if you're killing rock and roll just to make and that was the thing, like, let's deconstruct rock, let's deconstruct our idea of what a rock band does and
we can have that conversation, but
it's a great album, it's brilliant, and
still
all
rock and roll to me,
you know, we like it because we're supposed to, I get that, but it's not rock, and I don't mean evolving in such a way like the way Radiohead does. I mean, you two evolved to a place that you're like the next thing that takes rock and roll to the next level. And that obviously hasn't happened in the last 10 to 15 to 20 years. So anytime something explodes, man, it's because it sounds retro. It sounds old.
Right.
The Strokes were, you know, the critics' darlings in the summer of 2001, leading up to the fall when their first album.
We didn't say that about the Strokes. The Strokes sound like X, Y, and Z.
Oh,
the Strokes sounded like the fucking Strokes.
When I went into Vintage Vinyl, man, and I heard the Strokes' first album, I thought it was like, is this a box set from the Velvet Underground?
You did?
Yeah. I'll never forget it, man. I walked into Vintage Vinyl, okay, in Central Jersey, for those of you who don't know where that is, and the second song, The Modern Age, was playing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, first I heard Lou Reed. You know, I was like, is this some, like, Lou Reed box set or some unreleased Lou Reed Velvet Underground thing? And then Soma came on, and then like Barely Legal, and then Alone Together, and I was just like one song after another, and I heard the Modern Lovers, and then I heard Iggy Pop, and like all of this, I was like, what is this? What the fuck is this? I heard The Past, man. I heard like something.
Fair enough, but they're not a derivative band, man, which
I think they're very derivative.
You think so?
Hell yeah. I think it was just that they were just epitomized the sound of 70s New York rock.
Mm.
But they redefined it. They did it like they sound like the Strokes. It was something mm-hmm. their own. It was new. It was old, but it was new.
Okay.
And when they came out, the industry caught on, man, the Strokes are big. Let's create a whole bunch of little bands. Or sign them, get them signed, mm-hmm. man. So after that, you know, it was really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you had the Vines.
The Vines and the Hives.
And rock and roll was saved.
Snapping their fingers and it was all
so
fucking
after going
gone.
Through the late 90s where, like, the post-Cobain drought of all this reactive stuff like Bush and Matchbox 20 and things like that, which were good in their own right, but it wasn't rock music. It was, I don't know what it was. It was more like
I feel that way
about pop.
About Turn Me On, Dead Man. I've been listening to that again lately, and it's different.
Yeah,
but it has some of those. It has that. It's like it's that comfort food, man. It's your mom's chicken noodle soup. Right. It's got you know there that's you the stock is there.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
It is you know because chicken noodle soup is very generic. It's not that, but that stock is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening because they were just on tour in Europe and they keep popping up on my Facebook feed. So I went back and was listening to it. And I was like, this is. It's good. It's fucking good. It's that spin that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it still has the fucking, the you know, your grandmother's fucking chicken stock in the center of it to hold it together.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Ziggy Manucci will appreciate that.
He does, man. Because it's not a knock. It's a fucking really good thing.
That's a good analogy, man.
So let's say it. Do we feel that way about Greta Van Fleet, the... topic du jour,
you know,
band that we discovered within the last 2 weeks, at least I did.
Greta Van Fleet, that is the name.
But very, really quickly, do you remember when the Strokes came out?
Sure.
It was like the White Stripes. It was like the Strokes and the White Stripes, and then it was like this period.
Loved
where,
them
like,
both.
Rock was like this like very brief renaissance of rock music in the early 2000s. And then it just kind of fizzled out, and then you had Britney Spears, and 9/11 happened.
That was like the last gasp.
After
9/11, actually.
Man, I think 9/11 in a way kind of indirectly promoted the whole future of country music, because when you had guys that you like that put a boot in your ass song, get really big,
sing about America,
everything
and this,
became
that,
like
and, yeah.
the country thing just exploded after that. There was like this whole resurgence of patriotic, you know. And where, hey, that's the whole.
Is this it came out in 2001?
9/11?
No, is the Strokes first record came out in 2001?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I associate them with 9/11 in my brain.
You know, a little side note about that album, I bought it. It was supposed to come out on September 11th. Like Bob Dylan, Love and Theft was released on 9/11. And, the Strokes pulled it.
It was a Tuesday, too. Yeah, it was a Tuesday. That's primarily a record release day.
Is it?
There was
records
whole,
and movies.
You know, there was
I don't
a
know
whole,
why, but it is.
Everybody was embracing the police and the firemen during that period. There was a very patriotic, collective sense of patriotism and love for the police. And
whenever you get that existential threat, you're going to have that conservative backlash.
You hippie punk, we're putting your music on the shelf.
Yeah. So the Strokes had a song on their first album called New York City Cops. And the album was coming out like a couple weeks after 9/11. They pulled the album. They pulled the song. They pulled the song from the album because it was something that you know, they just felt it was in poor taste to have this song on their album. At such a time after 9/11, and they later released it. I think they put it on there's like an original copy, you know, like there's that copy with that splashy like orange and the fractals, the orange and blue, and then there's the one with like the girls, you know, the side view of the girl. It's like a cover,
right?
So they replaced it with that song When It Started, which is kind of like the one lame song on there,
right? Okay.
But Greta Van Fleet, you asked me where I found him, man.
Yeah.
You just notice things, man, and you just kind of don't pay attention to it. You just see headlines, and for like the last 3 or 4 months, I've seen is Greta Van Fleet the new Led Zeppelin. Every time I would see them in print, it would be in connection with Led Zeppelin.
And it's not a woman, for those of you listening. Greta Van Fleet is not a woman.
Yeah.
At first, you know, you say, you know Greta Van Fleet?
I think they're named after
no more than Alice Cooper.
After a woman.
That's fine, but it's. I was just curious because, you know, all of a sudden
they look like a boy band. They look like.
Do they really?
I didn't even. Oh, you haven't seen them?
No, I have not seen them.
That's the thing, bro. Like, when you see them, whoa, like, you did not expect that sound to come out of that singer in particular. The singer looks like motherfucking Justin Bieber. Doesn't he, dude? He really does, dude.
So when he opens his
mouth, he really does. Yeah.
Are they American?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're from Michigan. And so I just decided to check them out. I said, let me see what this is about.
Who posed the question are they the new Led Zeppelin? Was that like a blabbermouth?
A lot of critics. That's just what all the hype is. And they largely deliver on the hype, I'm pleased to say, man. Now the whole thing about Led Zeppelin, the next Led Zeppelin, quote unquote, has become a cliche. It's a worn out cliche that kind of went out of style with Kingdom Come in 1988.
Any male with that kind of range they're instantly saying the next Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. Next Led Zeppelin. I'll tell you what reminds me more of Led Zeppelin from this band, though, and it does. It, there's some hints of it there. The drumming is almost like they recorded the exact same way that Bonham did. He has that echoey thumping. The kid's a hitter, man. You can hear it.
Yeah.
That reminded me more of Led Zeppelin than the kid's voice. And the kids, there's moments of that kid's voice where it's hauntingly close to Robert Plant.
Yeah.
There are different things. Like I'm hearing, you know, I'm hearing different things. It's not just Zeppelin that I'm hearing. I'm hearing Bad Company music-wise.
Okay.
You, without the vocals, if you just listen to the band, I'm hearing the 70s. I'm even hearing Zebra. Remember Zebra?
I remember Zebra.
Certain things about it remind me of Zebra. Certain things remind me of Rush. Geddy Lee a little
bit. He has some Rush moments, maybe vocally.
Some of it reminds me of Jack White.
When I first heard him, I was like, is this Jack White? Like, is this some new Jack White song?
It's
when
like
I first
Robert
heard
Plant
it.
And Jack White had a baby.
But I always thought Jack, when I first heard Jack White, I thought he sounded so much like Robert Plant. I always
Jack
thought
Plant.
That. Yeah. But did you listen to the whole record?
I did.
Yeah.
Yo, you both listened to it? Because I listened to like three songs.
Yeah.
No, I listened to the entire album.
You did?
Yeah.
It's.
And it got better as it went along.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I was getting used to it.
Right.
But there was Flower Power. Is that the one song, the second or third song?
Mm-hmm.
That was a really interesting one. That's the one that kind of starts out kind of mellow and it has a little buildup in it. Mm-hmm. I like that one the most, I think. I liked it a lot.
What else was I going
to
say?
You guys like them more than I do, man, because I think they sound too motherfucking much like Led Zeppelin, man.
So when they sound like Zeppelin, they really sound like Zeppelin.
And it's by design. You could tell those dudes studied Led Zeppelin and motherfucking worshiped them. You can tell.
This is the interesting thing, and this is
okay.
why I think they're different. Because when bands like Kingdom Come came out, even Def Leppard was supposed to be the next Led Zeppelin, and Def Leppard sounds nothing like Led Zeppelin.
No.
But I remember Def Leppard was supposed to be the next Led Zeppelin. Okay.
They might have been if Rick Allen didn't have his car accident. I want to go out on record as saying that. Because their first two records were fucking huge. They were on their way to superstardom.
And they were good,
too. That they didn't become... Yeah, they were. They didn't become superstars, because Pour Some Sugar on Me, that record all of a sudden got all these teenage girls involved. Not that they didn't have them then, but, I mean, teenage girls and 20-something girls were involved. And, you know, and then there were 30-something girls. But before Rick Allen's accident... I think they were on a trajectory to get to superstardom without the Adrenalize. Is that the name of that record with Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Yeah,
they
I think
me he, after the Pyromania was the last good thing.
Yeah, that's the last thing I liked, man.
No, Pyromania was, I mean, but High and Dry and then Pyromania, I mean, they were on I just wanted to pause us there because they could have been. I don't know if they were going to be the mighty Led Zeppelin. Let's, you know, we could draw a line in the sand.
Yeah.
But they were on a trajectory to go places probably.
They could
even
be as
more than
big
they
as Led Zeppelin, but I don't think they sounded like them at all.
They would be,
no,
we would, they
not
be more
even
relevant today. We'd be talking about them more, I think, if he never had his accident.
Why do you
put so much significance on
because they,
that
it,
dude?
It
changed the sound
changed
of the band.
Changed the sound of the band. It changed his drumming style. They had to wait to record until they didn't even know if they were ever going to record again.
Yeah.
Was he even a songwriter in that band, though?
I don't know. But they waited on him.
I don't think so.
He was, but they waited on him. They weren't going to continue. It didn't sound like without
you
him.
You got to give Rick Allen all the credit in the world, man, that he deserves for that. You know, he's carrying on, but it did change the sound of Def Leppard, that electronic drum sound.
Yes.
They had no choice but to make the type of music that they did afterward. You know, they became a pop band.
I think they changed with the times and had less to do with the fact that the dude had one arm.
I think if he kept both his arms, I think they just would have naturally went toward.
I think so.
I think it would have been a better record. I think
it would
have
been
a much better record.
It would have been Hysteria with real drums.
Hysteria and Adrenalize.
Hysteria would have been the same songs. It just would have been with real drums. It would have maybe sounded a little bit louder.
We can agree to disagree.
Than compressed. I don't know. Yeah. And then Kingdom Come comes along. They were so hyped. And then we finally heard them, and they had that. Like Kingdom Come was. They were Zeppelin imitators, but they didn't channel Zeppelin. They didn't.
No, it was like thrown together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you put the music on, I went out and I purchased, man, with,
oh,
my,
I remember
with
buying
money.
That record.
I gave somebody
did
money.
Really?
Yeah. I
so
gave somebody
I,
money for the Kingdom.
For Kingdom Jism?
I bought that fucker too, man. I didn't buy it.
I took money out of my pocket
I
handed it to somebody and they gave me a Kingdom Come. So I took it back. And the music wasn't there. The songs weren't there.
It was very thin.
The difference that with Greta Van, I keep saying Greta Van Susteren, Greta Van Fleet, is the songs are there. They're instantly catchy.
Yeah.
You hear it sounds familiar, but it sounds like there were new songs written and recorded in the 70s and frozen in time. It's almost like they froze Zeppelin in 69 and let them out in 2018.
Yeah, but the songs aren't half as good. They're not writing Misty Mountain Hop, and they're never gonna. They're not writing the Rain song.
I want to use that phrase of line in the sand, because they're not going to be Led Zeppelin.
The guitar player said, man, that he has studied Jimmy Page to the point where he's learned to think like him.
The singer has studied Robert Plant to the same thing. And you know what gives it away? His motherfucking mannerisms. I'm watching him sing with his hand on his hip doing that. Right, like doing he's that. Acting no, like Plant, which is taking
that.
It too motherfucking far.
Right, right.
Okay, I'm glad
I didn't
see that.
And they're going to get sick of hearing that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. I caught that without never seeing these guys in things that he does vocally.
I noticed that, too.
He does these things vocally where you could picture him with the hand on the hip and the arm out. It's very strange that you just fucking brought that up, because I'm sitting there listening to it with the headphones on, and you could almost picture him with the unbuttoned shirt, and he's doing the, you know. Yeah. It's fucking spooky that you just said that, man. It's spooky that you just said that.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
You can't wear your influences too loudly. Like I all my life I've been, you'll like this band because they sound like the Stones. Like, no, like I don't like it when you sound too much like a band I like. Right. I reject you. He sounds too much like Robert Plant. I mean, fucking talented motherfuckers.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. I think they're gonna be a flash in the pan. I think they're gonna be gone.
And you might be
in
right.
a couple of years, dude.
You could be right. The reason I like it is because to me the songs are there. They're good. They're catchy.
That's the question. Are they gonna
wake up in the morning?
Really? You do really? All right. You do.
I do dig it as well. I'm with Mike on this one. I do dig it a lot. I don't know. Thermate really never caught on with you guys, but the Sabbath in me, I keep going back. I know I keep fucking mentioning that band name over and over again, but it's the same thing. I'd wake up and it's there. That riff.
Oh hell no. 10:03. How do I stop this?
Can't you hit stop?
How do I? It's a scheduled time today at 10:03. It's now 9:50.
But what are your options?
Restart now. Pick a time. Okay.
Pick a time.
I already did. All right. Anyway.
Something might pop up to ask you for a time.
Yeah. So anyway.
No, but the getting back to the Thermate thing is that I hear that, you know, I'm driving, I'm like, okay, that riff is going in my head, and then it'll come on, and I like that, I do, I'm with Mike on that.
Yeah.
I don't know if these guys are going to be in that same little cluster, but you never know.
They're going to have to change and morph a little bit and evolve a little bit.
And they will. And here's my response.
And they're going to get tired of hearing you guys sound like Zeppelin.
I'll say this, as much as they sound like Led Zeppelin, I don't know if I'm going to be listening to this record 20 years from now, because I feel that it is not as... What's the word I'm looking for a Zeppelin record? It was always very chunky and full and like
well,
a
that's
steak
why,
and potatoes
that's how we
dinner.
Know,
you know?
That's how we know they're not Zeppelin.
Okay, fair enough.
Every band that puts out their first couple albums, man, sounds derivative of something. Even Led Zeppelin was derivative of the blues that they were stealing. So now this band is stealing from Led Zeppelin, but they're creating the songs, man. Zeppelin ripped off the blues artists, man.
Yeah, early
they
on.
Had the music.
Early on.
Early
they had,
on.
They had Dazed and Confused. The blues artists didn't have Dazed and Confused.
Yeah,
man. Zeppelin had
I'm
a whole
so
lot
confused.
Of love.
I'm So Confused was I don't remember who wrote it, but Dazed and Confused I think was
yeah,
stolen.
It was stolen actually.
Mm-hmm. They've stole a lot. Their first two records had a lot of thievery on it.
Killing Floor, yeah.
Dazed and Confused was written by Jake Holmes. It was a year before.
What about?
You're eating on air. That sounds so disgusting.
I'm sorry. I'm eating a cookie.
I'm trying to sound of your saliva, Mike.
No, I heard his lips smack like three times. Our listener's going to be like, what the fuck was that? I only know that because somebody called me out for breathing on the mic. My cousin. She goes, I heard you fucking breathing into that microphone the entire episode. That's why I sit back like this now.
Yeah.
I don't want to breathe.
Yeah,
I've been hovering over the microphone, so I may be breathing into the mic tonight. I'm just totally...
I don't like it when you can hear people breathe in the microphone or when you hear
our
people saliva in
them. Smacking his lips.
We're peeking over here on the volume. This is going to be a totally like audio disaster. I apologize, especially if you're a new listener. We don't have a big audience, so you know what? At this point...
Pepperidge Farm still remembers...
Yeah, Mike's destroying the Pepperidge Farm Captiva cookies.
We're just having this conversation now. We don't have a big audience, so we're doing these shows knowing that there's not a big audience. So we just like to talk about music, so we just hit the record button.
We're caring less about it. I like the Pepperidge Farm cakes myself.
I didn't want to call you out, but I had to.
But getting, you know,
anybody know how to promote a podcast out there?
Yeah, contact us, man. We need all the help we can get.
Give us some advice. No, but the songs are there. Every song is, I think, of a high quality in a sense that every song, every one of those songs could have been written in the 70s and on the radio and classics by now. That's
really?
I think the difference is they have the goods. They're the real deal on the surface. We don't know what they're going to be like live. We don't know what they're going to make on their third or fourth album when they really become Greta Van Fleet, because most of these bands, Zeppelin did not become Zeppelin until House is
right.
Gone, you know.
But as I mentioned before, modern day bands tend to do their best work in the beginning and then crap out.
Well, that's
whereas the bands we love got better. Like, these guys get better?
And that's I think that's the touring. If these guys can do that on the road, for you know, they're gonna have to tour significantly probably for their debut.
They are. Obviously. They're going on a crazy tour.
So if this guy can get through that vocally, I'm speaking only of the vocalist, because that is no easy task. You and I have had this conversation on and off air, Stick. That is not an easy fucking thing to do. Mm-hmm. Then he will progress. You know, he will get better. Chris Cornell is a great example of that. He was raw.
And
you know, but his voice became seasoned and he grew with it.
True.
And the music grew with him.
True.
So that could happen with these guys.
Here's my next question. And this is the big question. They've got club dates sold out all over the place, and they're sold out
two nights at the Bowery Ballroom.
So they've already had their big New York shows at the Bowery Ballroom. Two nights, man. They've got the Starland Ballroom here sold out in May.
Sold out.
Their shows are sold out everywhere.
Okay, so I have to ask this question before you finish. They're selling out these shows. Is this based off of because of what they look like?
Based off of the hype? And
they're cute.
Now, if you read the YouTube comments, man, it's all people our age and older saying, man, where have these guys, like,
wow.
I have not heard music like this since the set. Like, this is rock music. Thank you for posting this. Thank you for, you know, you guys are going to be like the next, you know. So my question, with given the hype, and we have not seen hype, like critic love like this since the Strokes, could this be the swift kick in the ass that the music industry needs to go out and start signing rock bands
again? That's a good point.
Because,
that point I love.
Because mark my words, I'm going to go out on a limb here, man, and this is my bold fucking prediction, man, based on what I've seen and what I've heard and what I've read and based on ticket sales now, that these guys are selling out clubs this quick without even, they don't even have an album out. They have an EP. This is an 8-song EP. They're going in to record their album, you know, which they, you know, supposed to be recorded and out later this year. My prediction, regardless of where they are 10 years from now, they will play The Garden in 2 years. 2 years from now, they will have played The Garden.
Do you think they're going to need a hit song to do all these things? Are they going to need Smells Like Teen Spirit to do this?
And that's my I want to follow up on Stick's question, because it is a great question, in that and going back to what you're saying, to get there and to sell these places out, is the music industry, because let's face it, it's a money-driven industry, you know, like all of them. Is it going to be, like you're asking, okay, rock is finally value of, it has some value to us again. Let's sign more rock acts. I'm on board with that.
Because
playing the Garden, though, in 2 years, that's...
Zeppelin played in 2 years.
That's, yeah. That's a different era.
All right, man.
Well, the Strokes took about 10 years.
I might have to pump the brakes a little bit.
I don't think they're going to do it.
The Strokes, by choice, took 10 years.
I might have to pump the brakes there a little bit. The exit's coming up, so I'm going to pump the brakes.
Okay.
Don't want to go past the exit at all.
They will play The Garden by their second album. They don't even have their first album yet.
Hey, as a lover of fucking rock and roll and metal and hard rock, I hope they do. I do. I honestly hope they do.
And I don't mean
because then it really says that it's back.
Their first time might be as an opening act. Like, I could see, like, I can't even think of a bigger band that, like, you know, which, like, who, you know, none
okay.
of,
yeah, I mean,
like, who's going to play The Garden? Just take them as an opening act. You know,
yeah.
All the other ones are playing stadiums and they don't have opening acts.
Okay, will you, instead of The Garden, would you say, okay, Prudential Center in Newark, that's the equivalent of The Garden?
The Garden
okay.
in New Jersey, yeah.
An arena. Mm-hmm. Okay, an arena band. Okay.
You know, there's like who's out today that would take Greta Van Fleet out on a tour?
Is their audience is in fact old dudes like us? That's most of their audience. The young people like that sound. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure girls like them because they're cute.
Because when you there's going to be that because they do look like
the singer looks like motherfucking Justin Bieber, man.
Like Justin Bieber, and the other ones have like, you know, they look, you look do like not Benson.
Yeah, yeah,
long,
yeah.
Do they have long hair?
Yeah, they get that's good. Yeah, the guys
they all had long hair. The singer cut his hair, so now he's got like this like Justin Bieber thing going on.
Coincidentally, but so do I. I just don't look as good as Justin Bieber. Just to throw that out there.
There's that. So there's the image factor.
There's always going to be an image.
Which
I don't care.
Strokes and had. The Strokes were pure image.
And so did Zeppelin. The music Zeppelin had an image too. I mean, every band had an image. I don't care who it was.
And Zeppelin were in their early 20s. They were all in their early 20s and mid 20s when all this great music was made. This music.
You can get up there and look like a fucking hobo for all I care. It's still an image.
All of the music that we love and we were raised on and we look back on, like FM radio playing the same four Who songs and the same four Zeppelin songs that just, I mean, that we take for granted when we look at it.
How long
all of
before
that great
Greta,
music?
How long before Greta Van Fleet is on the Q? Q104.
They already were. But they were music, interviewed by Q104. I saw
the
best
music was created. I mean, no matter what genre, man, rock, classic rock, metal, it was all created by guys in their 20s.
These guys don't look a day over 17, man. I wonder how old these dudes are.
Interviewed by Q104?
Yeah. I was
so it wasn't Eddie Trunk because Eddie has his show too.
I don't know who it was, but there was old Q104 banners, and they sat down with the four of them, and then like 5 minutes, and I tuned out, man. But if you maybe I'm just jealous, man. If you go on YouTube, there's like three or four things down. Is this adorable blonde girl interviewing a singer, and a girl is beaming at the singer. She wants to bone him so bad, and the kid sitting there, Justin Bieber, whatever his name is. Picking his earwax, man. He's like rolling his earwax into a ball. Like, what the, and she still wants to bone this
dude.
Maybe
he doesn't like women. Maybe he doesn't like women.
He's loving every minute of it, bastard.
Good
for
him.
I'm just jealous of you.
You know, that they are good, that they do, again, I'm not, it's the consensus that I seem to be, as far as like what I've read, is that people love this band. What they're hearing, that it's a sound that they haven't heard in rock music in years. The songs are good, and the critics love them. There's a lot of hype, and it seems that I have not heard or read somebody be like, "Yet they suck." I haven't seen one bad thing.
Right.
I don't put a lot of stock in critics sometimes.
Well, the reason I mentioned them is because. Where there's hype, people do flock to see what the curiosity.
Yeah.
Now, the reason hype is only hype is because like either you deliver on the hype or you don't. And the majority, you know, you're either the Strokes or you're Kingdom Come. And the Strokes, you know, again, the Strokes being the dysfunctional, they're a dysfunctional band, but everything that, I mean, they were on an arena level after Angles, you know, they're their fourth record.
They lived up to the hype.
They just can't get their shit together personally. Yeah. But,
and that happens. And who knows that it doesn't happen to these guys.
Right, right.
That's a lot of pressure, man.
But the reason they're different is because people are going for it, man. People are loving it. The fact that they're sold out everywhere, that they've already... Two nights at the Bowery Ballroom equals one night at the Beacon Theater. You know what I mean? So next, are they going to keep
Starland?
Playing
I mean, look
Ballroom?
At the band selling Starland Ballroom. It's not a big venue, but they're not sold out all the time. You're looking at like BLS and Anthrax, and
so
I mean,
under the right,
other
management
bands.
And everything, and the right promotion, man. You're going to Greta Van Fleet at the Beacon Theater. You know, Greta Van Fleet at the, you know, whatever. It's just only going to get bigger and bigger. You can only get bigger, and you can only go up when you're at this point. Even if it comes down very quickly, there's still going to be.
Their first record going to be on a major label?
I don't know. I don't know anything about their label or what, you know, if it's independent. I can't see them. I can definitely see them being signed to a major label. Yes, I can definitely see that. And at some point, if they continue to sell,
they'll get picked up.
Very few artists have been able to do it independently as a new artist and get that big.
Yeah.
But I think they have the potential to get that big.
And that's, I want to emphasize yet, because the way that records can be recorded, I mean, the three of us could sit here and record a record, have it out on iTunes in a matter of hours, or an EP, if you will, in a matter of hours, and have something decent sounding. There's a lot of people who do it already.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so the world has changed. What? The world has moved on in the way, not only that we listen to music, but the way we purchase it and the way it's recorded, everything.
The difference between that and the major labels is the major labels have the money.
Yeah.
To get it out there.
To the masses. Agreed.
Exactly.
But iTunes can do that independently.
Exactly.
You just have to promote the shit out of yourself, and you have to kind of stick it out there. Right.
So at this point, people are, the labels are going to be like, holy shit, these, look what they've done with just an EP.
Yeah, on iTunes.
They've done it on their own. So they're going to go after them. And okay. Sure, man, they've probably got offers up the ass.
Get their hooks in them.
So that's why they have the number one. They've got the goods, and they're going to have the opportunity to get that big. You know, because
I hope
got
they
the
do, because that's our, you know, that'll be our savior.
I hope they do,
the
too.
The foundation is put in place. Now they just have to, let's see what happens. I mean, you could be right. You know, they could be.
They
remember whatever happened to Greta. You know, remember Greta Van Fleet?
I think it's that's what it's going to be like. I'm not wishing it on them, but I think so.
The band I keep mentioning again, I won't even mention their name again. They only had a 6-song EP, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is an 8-song EP. Yeah, Thermate. I didn't mention it. You did.
I mentioned it.
Did you really dig that, or you didn't dig it, or it was a little like grungy for you, or?
I got to give it another chance, okay. Man. I got to give it another chance.
Okay. But
and I will.
And
I will.
It's only an EP as well.
I want to wrap up in like 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of testing the water. You know, they're only testing the waters, if you will.
Right.
You know? Okay. Maybe that's the way they're starting to go. I don't know. I did like it. I'm going to listen to it again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that it wasn't shallow. Right. I want to go back to what Stick said before. I want to go deeper into the water if you want to get out of the 3-foot kiddie pool section.
Yeah.
They could very well be the answer to our mission, one of our mission statement, kind of part of what our mission statement is can Greta Van Fleet be the band that is the kick in the ass that the industry needs to bring rock back to where it's present again in the mainstream and enough people are listening to it to put, you know, grow the audience and have enough of a significant place in the world, man, where rock and roll is very visible again, where kids are wanting to go out and buy guitars and start bands, you know? Could they be that band?
The odds are stacked against them, man, but they'll have a good time and make lots of money and chicks in the meantime.
2027, Thermate and Greta Van Fleet. Yeah.
And that's my homework.
Here's the thing.
Thermate and Greta Van Fleet.
That big, man. Greta Van Fleet, when your opening act becomes bigger than the band that's headlining. You know? Anyway, Rock Under Fire, thanks for listening. What's going on now?
Nothing going on. Peace out. We love you.
This is where you beg them to support us.
Yes,
on iTunes and YouTube, et cetera, et cetera.
Sorry for eating, but this is my podcast. I'll do as I please. Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news.